This is the Woodland Hills Family Church Podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning again, Woodland Hills family. I'm Ted Cunningham, the lead pastor here at Woodland Hills. This is Dr. Travis Bronner, a medical doctor in our community, but even more than that, an elder at our church, a good friend to me, a good friend to our church family, helping us lead through this time. And I just asked him to join us again today as we move through this. One of the things we're very mindful of during this time is our tone. It's been referred to as tone deafness. When you know the right thing to say, and we know the truth has not changed, but it's the way in which it is communicated. We also know timing, that there's a lot of lessons we need to learn through this time, but more of that to follow. We don't have to teach everything we're learning right now.
Right.
So we just want to kick off today with Jesus' light, and I want to start by reading for you out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Wasn't part of the teaching notes, and you know if you've been at our church for a while, we turn in our teaching notes on Friday at 10 a.m. The Lord has to be done speaking at 10 a.m. on Friday. But I think these days, that's gone, because a lot changes in 24 hours and 48 hours today. But I woke up this morning as we're talking about Jesus being light. You know, before faith in Christ, you're a child of darkness. But when you place faith in Jesus and you become a Christian, you are called a child of light. And right now, we are to be walking in light, we're to be living in light, and we're to be sharing this light. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, we often talk about 1 Thessalonians 4 and the return of the Lord. We get to chapter 5, and the Apostle Paul is reminding the believers in Thessalonica to walk and live and share this light with one another. And I'm going to read starting in verse 1. "Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you, like a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet." Jesus said it this way in John chapter 8 and verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And even with Psalm 96:1, that's why we have this light, and we do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness. And we've been talking a lot about faith over fear, and even since last Sunday, Travis, we some churches were open, some were closed, and we were right on that line of whether we should do that or not. But then it was after we left Sunday, it was a little odd to me how churches and pastors kind of went at each other, and Christians. I don't know if you know this, but the internet's got a lot of opinions. Have you been on the internet lately? The World Wide Web. And so if you closed down, it was because you were living in fear. And I called some of our widows and senior adults this week, and I just heard a passion in them. I won't give in to fear. I won't give in to fear. And last week, churches being open or being closed had really nothing to do with faith versus fear. It had everything to do with precaution.
Yeah, I agree. We tend to have this thought that if we avoid something, we're afraid of it, and therefore, if we are afraid of it, we lack faith. And those are not one-to-one there. And so with this, we say we're not fearful, but we're taking precautions. And so we believe that actions that you take in this time do not display a greater faith, certain actions, like, for instance, us not meeting as a group last week, and we don't believe that coming against that fear in such a way to pretend something doesn't exist is not a greater expression of faith.
Yeah.
But we also believe the importance of tone and timing, like you said. This is not a time for people to be beating each other down for what they are or are not doing. We simply do what we feel we should be doing, and you know, as a church and the leadership of this church, that was the decision that we made.
Yeah, and to be more mindful of where believers are on this journey. We have people in this church that have walked with the Lord for 50, 60, 70, in 80 years who are solid in their faith, and this ain't shaking them at all. We have brand new believers in this church who are learning for the very first time and going through one of the a crisis that our nation has never seen before and learning as they go. So we have to be mindful of that in this faith versus fear.
That's important what you're saying, too, that we've never seen before. A ton of uncertainty in this time. I believe that uncertainty is what is driving most people's fear right now. And by nature, we like to know what's next. We want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, the next week, the next year. And we just simply, right now, are in a time where that's not possible. And so we look for comfort in knowing what's next. When I was growing up doing sports, Ted, sports analogy, okay? You can throw in fishing later, but sports for now.
Sports analogies.
Doing conditioning. Some of you may remember doing conditioning repetitions, things to get you in better shape.
I played junior high basketball.
So you're with me. Follow
along. I know suicides. I know what those are.
So how many suicides do we have to do, coach? And the coach's answer was, I'll tell you when we're done. Mm. And that I would much rather have done 8, knowing we had to do 8, than 5, and then cutting off right at 5.
And I can add to that analogy, that kid who wouldn't touch the line, that was a guarantee of us needing to do more.
It didn't count.
And
yeah.
I love what's going around this week. We kind of right now feel like kindergartners losing recess time because 2 or 3 people aren't paying attention.
Yeah,
a little bit.
You were the one that didn't touch the line, weren't you?
I didn't touch the line. I was winded.
So thanks a lot.
Yeah, but so I wear a seatbelt when I drive. And if I stop wearing a seatbelt and start going, I don't live in fear, you would say, Ted, you're unwise. Like, so this is a wisdom thing, not a faith fear thing when we take precautions. And this is a time that people are turning. If as we talk about Jesus being this light and this light in us, I remember growing up as a kid, our bedrooms across the top of our house was my mom and dad and me, and then my brother. And I would never say I was afraid of the dark. Are you afraid of the dark?
Not really.
Not really. Okay. Well, I'm the type that I don't go into a room unless I turn the light on. And I'll be honest with you, maybe I've seen too many movies. When I'm leaving a room, I get out of the room the best I can before turning that light out and shutting it quick because somebody's going to grab me out of the back of the room. But you remember when your parents came in? If you ever were like, man, I heard something. I don't know really what's going on. And your parents turned on the light. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, there's absolutely nothing to fear in this room right
now. You can see it all.
Because of the light. I'll be honest with you. I was watching CNN this week, just briefly. Take the chill, Fox friends. But they played that commercial with Ronald Reagan's son. He's trying to gather up atheists and agnostics for the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And I just thought to myself, what a weird time to be growing the atheism club. Like, no one's, like, looking to nothing. People are turning right now, and we want you to know, if you're tuning in, we want you to have that light. We want you, and this is what's interesting about this text. You're like, man, you're talking about the end of times and the day of the Lord and Paul's referring. We don't share this with one another to scare each other or to live in fear. Multiple times in 1 Thessalonians, he says it in chapter 4, as he talks about the return of the Lord, encourage each other with these words. At the end of the section I just read in chapter 5, he says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. We, as children of light, should not be bringing about more fear, sharing opinions, going after people to put fear in people. We need to be sharing the light and knowing we don't live in this fear.
And it's that certainty that keeps us from being fearful. As we talk about things that are dangerous and the end and things like that, it's our faith that gives us comfort
in
that.
And you have done a fantastic job. Travis is in the medical community here in Branson, and I'm trying not to touch my face while I do it. But he has been encouraging to me because I call him. I hear something, and I call him, Travis. And your answer is, we don't No.
We don't know.
We want certainty in this time of uncertainty.
We're looking for clarity, it seems. And everybody wants to know what's next. And if we could just have this plan laid out, if we knew how many suicide wind sprints we had to run, then most of us would feel a lot better about this whole thing. But we're asking questions, and we wonder, this is our internal voice is saying, am I going to have a job when this all ends? Is my business going to still be open?
When is Branson going to open back up?
Am I going to get sick? How sick am I going to get? Is my family going to get sick? Is anyone I know going to die from this? Some really big, heavy unknowns, and we're looking to cling to some clarity about it. And I love what when John Cavanaugh was an ethicist who met Mother Teresa, and when he did, he asked her if she would pray for him. And she said, what would you like for me to pray for you? And he said, I would like for you to pray for clarity for me. I want to understand what my future is to be. And she said, no. Was her answer. No, I won't. I won't pray for you for clarity, because clarity is not what you want. What you want is faith. Because no matter how much we can feel like we know what's going to happen next, with all the unknowns, we start speculating what's going to happen next. And with speculation, we start to expect things. Yeah. And when we expect things, it sets us up for disappointment. And that disappointment just furthers our uncertainty and our fear. And so what Mother Teresa was saying was, pray for faith. Look for faith in this time, because no matter what happens tomorrow, next week, next year, we lean on our faith. We know that God is sovereign, that he's still on his throne, and that no matter what, he has us. That, in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and this is a pretty dark, shallow valley that we're in right now, that we will fear no evil because he is with us.
Yeah, Jesus has already turned on the light in your life. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I have light to walk right now during this time. With Christ as my Savior. So we're going to build this out probably in the weeks to come. I feel like we keep adding to it. But the very first one we've been talking a lot about this week is faith, not fear. Faith, not fear. And then moving on to the next one, hope, not hype. If you've been around Woodland Hills for any stretch of time, you know Ecclesiastes 9:4 is a verse I come back to. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. If you're breathing right now, there is hope. If you have no faith in Christ, the time is now. You're still breathing. You still have hope. But that hope, as Joe talked about last week, is in Christ. Our light is Christ. And now is the time. Now is the time. We know many of you are turning to Christ right now during this time. We're leaning into our faith now more than ever. And for those of you who've never placed faith in Jesus, this is the time. We go with hope. And we say, last week, Joe did a fantastic job with this, we never bet against hope. We have hope. So it's faith, not fear, hope, not hype. And then this is the big one that we've been focusing on this week, prayer, not paranoia. We are going to take the time, even right now, to pray for our community. Decisions were made in our community this week. Somebody asked me to join a group about Branson, and I got on there to join it, and I'm like, okay, I want to be light in this, but it was so toxic. It was so toxic towards our leaders. And then just seeing believers in Christ sharing toxicity online. My friends, it's just now is not the time. Now is not the time. And one of the things we know, this virus bumped into you. It bumped into you. It didn't create something in you. It bumped into you. And what's coming out of you right now was in you long before you ever heard the term COVID-19. And this is not a time for us to be dealing with toxicity. And I just said, man, if now more than ever, to pray for our mayors, because every town around here with mayors, aldermen, our first responders, our medical community, the police, the firefighters that are still doing their jobs and doing it now, many of them unprotected during this time. This is a time for us to pray. This is a time for us to join together. And if ever there's a time we should take Jesus literally, which we do, but he says, for where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. And I told you this week, we're at 10. If they lower it to two or three, I ain't going below two or three. We are sticking with two or three. I'm going to have to draw a line there. But said it last week, I'll say it again, and then we'll take time as a church family to pray. Our prayers are needed more than our opinions right now. And I just want to encourage you, before you go online and get ready to share what this business is doing or what this elected official decided, that you would pause and that you would pray. Followers of Jesus, it is time for us to be light in these dark times. So,
and I think another important point with that is the consumption of the opinions that are out there. People spewing opinions, and there are many that are putting opinions out there, but there are more than that that are consuming those opinions. And that is what drives the uncertainty, the fear, and creates this animosity within the congregation, within the community, across the world right now.
Be 100% honest if you've been bugged by me calling you with some of these things I've read online.
Not yet. There's a threshold.
Travis, okay, I just heard, and he's like, Ted, we don't know. We don't know. So, yeah. Travis, I'd like both of us to pray. I'll start it and let you end it. But I want to pray for you. I want to pray for your colleagues that are on the front line. Travis, you were told last week to suspend all elective surgeries and everything that you would be doing to keep the hospital open so that we can be ready for this. And again, that's preparation.
Yeah.
That's wisdom.
Being wise. Yeah.
It's wisdom. It's not a faith or fear thing. It's being wise in this time. And
we said last week also action, not apathy. In this time, there is wisdom in certain actions. So.
I didn't add that. I got to add that to the list for next week.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask that you bow in your family room, in your kitchen, in your bedroom. I know there are some in our parking lot now in a car. We're not recommending that you come to the church at this point. Because some of them are going to hear that, like, I'm coming, I'm watching the after party, and they just stay home, honor that. But wherever you're at, just set the device there among your family, among friends. I know many are gathered with friends. And we're just going to take a moment at this point to pray. We know this is a very important time for us, even in the middle of a message. So join me in prayer. Father, it's in the good name of Jesus, through the authority of that name, through the power of the blood of Jesus, that we are pleading out as believers, as my family has been praying all week for our church family, for our community, and then for this virus. Sometimes praying about the virus slowing, when you see a world map, it can be overwhelming to think about my prayer affecting that. But I know it is the sovereignty that we know. You are in complete control over all of this. And we are praying that the labs all around the world where people are trying to find a vaccine for this, that are trying to find a way to treat patients with this. I mean, so many medical professionals and doctors and scientists and immunologists and all of them who are working around the clock on this. I think Dr. Anthony Fauci, who... Here's a 79-year-old man that is a model for all of us, working tirelessly to help our country and the world with this. Give him wisdom. Give him discernment in this as he seeks to calm fears and yet teach us all how to be wise through this time. I pray for every firefighter. I pray for every police officer, state trooper, sheriff's deputy, paramedic. I pray for our military. I pray as they sit there and hear every night about how they might be used in this and how governors are encouraging this. And I think of our government officials, from the president to the governors to our mayor, to the mayors in Southwest Missouri and Northwest Arkansas, to aldermen right now. Many of them are being attacked and their character being accused, or people coming against, Father, that they would lead and do what government leaders are supposed to do, and that is protect us from evil, as Romans clearly lines out for us. They're to promote good and punish evil. And so during this time, that they would move forward with wisdom. For our church leaders, as we think of ways to best serve this community and to care for this community during this time, we don't want to hold back anything that you have given us to be able to help our community with. I pray for each and every member of Woodland Hills Family Church right now that is without income, that is without a job, and as Travis was just speaking of, the uncertainty that they're living in right now, not knowing when they're starting back to work, not knowing when the paycheck's going to come again. This is a large percentage, Father, of our congregation. I know this is going to hit all of us financially, but I pray for the ones right now that it has hit immediately with from an Uber driver who was working 12, 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, to now nothing, to a waiter and a waitress not working, to our theater workers, to our entertainers. It just stopped in a day, and they now sit waiting and wondering. I am praying and encouraging them with the words of Scripture today that they would seek comfort in you and be comforted and encouraged during this time with faith in Christ, because Jesus is the light of the world. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus.
Lord, we come to you today also lifting up this church, this community, the country, and even the world, Lord, in for the spiritual condition of everyone, everywhere, that we would lean on our faith in you and our faith in your sovereignty, not on any clarity or certainty about what may be next, not any faith in riches or faith even in human abilities, human powers, or anything, Lord, but in your sovereignty. We pray for those who are sick currently, that you would heal those that it is in your will to heal, Lord. We pray that you continue to work all things together for good. We acknowledge that no matter what illness would come upon us, what financial difficulty, what stress, what family situations, no matter what, Lord, that that you would continue to bolster our faith through this, that we would look to one another for encouragement, not discouragement. We pray that as believers, we would build one another up, not tear one another down. I pray that you would convict those who are speaking words of hate, Lord, words of discouragement and accusation and blame, Lord, that you would just, your Holy Spirit would move through them, that they would, as followers of Jesus in this time, in fact, be a light. We want to be in the light as you are in the light, Lord. We thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit to comfort us. Lord, this is a time we realize that as we pray and we are leaning on prayer over paranoia, that sometimes we don't even know what to pray, but as you tell us in your word, that in that time we can simply be still with you and know that the Holy Spirit is praying for us with groanings too deep for words, and Lord, how deep the groanings are at this point with so many. We pray for those who are facing potential illness and those who are stressed about it, Lord, that you would just alleviate their fears. Father, we know that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from you. And for that, we are eternally, literally eternally grateful, so that we know that if we or a family member gets sick, Lord, that if it is your will, we pray for healing. And if not, Lord, we're grateful for an eternal rest with you, Lord, in the presence of our Savior Jesus. And for that, Lord, we say thank you, and we rest in that. We place our faith in that, and we thank you for a time this morning that we can pause, hopefully put our devices down, quit looking at the fear that is all around us, and that we can focus on you as we gather virtually, if not in person, Lord, and we know that in spirit we are gathered together, and we are grateful, and it is in Jesus' name that we are grateful and pray. Amen.
Amen. Faith, not fear. Hope, not hype. Prayer, not paranoia. And then helping, not hoarding. I'm not going to do one toilet paper joke. I'm so tired of the toilet paper jokes. But I'm going to, if you send me a meme, I'll laugh as though it's the first time I heard it. But can I tell you the thing that I've been encouraged about during this time? There have been people that would refer to Woodland Hills Family Church as the church I attend. And to see people using this term on social media, when I see someone say "our church," mm-hmm. And yeah, that it is. It is your church. It's our church. And as that goes up on the screen, I just want to tell people about one of the things we've done: care for kids. The elders said we need to do something immediately, and an immediate need for us, knowing that many people aren't dealing with this financially yet, because this is the first week that they've been without a job, but that'll come later, probably into April. They'll be dealing with that, and then what the government's doing with checks and all of that. But we said we need to do something immediately for the schools that are out. And a lot of children in Stone and Taney counties and all around our community outside of Stone and Taney counties, that's where they get their meal, through backpack programs, through breakfast, and through lunch. It's key. It's a key part of it. And so we sent a check last week for $30,000 to care for kids. And there's 14 school districts in Stone and Taney County, and they have a formula that they put that through to make sure that it's distributed appropriately to the children they need, and we will do more. This was the heart of our entire elder body.
Absolutely, and we recognize that this is, again, this is the beginning. We don't know what tomorrow brings, and this will be continually changing like everything else. And we believe, you know, as a church, thankfully, those that have preceded us in leadership, those of us that are newer in leadership at Woodland Hills, we're so grateful. And I'm just going to say the name, Jim Sedlacek, that put in place the 90% rule years ago. And because of that, our financial condition is in a place where we are not worried about resources, but rather we look to help, not hoard. And there's not even a question of that. And we're grateful, Jim, who's with the Lord now, who made a huge impact. I mean, who would have thought that decision long ago and that leading in him, we'd be standing here today. Grateful for that, for that reason.
Oh, Grant, I told his kids that. Yeah. One lives in Alabama and another in Phoenix. And here's what we know. Our church will thrive through this because those reaching out to help right now exceeds those reaching out for help. We know many in our church family will need help, and we stand ready to help. But we also want to encourage you, those who want to help. It's so many emails and messages coming in this week. This was autocorrect. I'm not spending a lot of time editing emails and Facebook messages right now. I was responding to a member of our church, and she wanted to help in her community. She lives in Arkansas, and she said, "What can we do?" And she was given some ideas, and I just ended the message. I wanted to say, "I love your heart to help." Instead, I ended and I told this precious member of our church, "I love your heart to hell." And she responded back with, "You love my heart to hell?" No, asterisk, help. Anyway, so we're all showing time. Anyway, you can give online right now. We're not making this a big deal. If you want to mail in your tithe check, but we need to be helping right now. And you were sharing earlier the idea that we hold on to the little bit we may have left. This isn't a time even to hold back the resources for fear and uncertainty of what's to come.
Right. And as a church, those are the things that we're doing. And we would encourage you as individuals, as we're looking to what it is that we can do, that we say it all the time, that the church is not a building. The church is not a certain gathering of people, but the church is followers of Jesus. And so we encourage you as individuals doing what it is you can do. No one even needs to know about it.
Yeah.
Just doing what it is you can do. And I want to challenge for our community particularly, but those in other communities as well, that there is a sense right now, if you own a business, if you have a company, whatever, an organization, whatever you do, this kind of hunkering down mentality, this could be even call it maybe a self-preservation. And that darkness you talked about, once the light's turned off, what do you tend to want to do? Stop. Don't move. And so there can be a tendency for the self-preservation, this hoarding of resources. I want to challenge the business owners, those that oversee the money in your organizations, to take this opportunity to be generous, that it's not a time to try to preserve. Whether your company is going to be in place and functioning in a month or so or not, that doesn't matter right now. There are people. We're not concerned about organizations. We're concerned about people and the needs that they have. So employers, business owners, do what is right in the Lord for those who you have depended on for so many years. And think about this. Your company would not be where it is today if it wasn't for those who are relying on that paycheck right now. And it may tank you financially, but consider those whom you have relied on for so many years and really need you right now.
Yeah, and how far will that go in our community if this week and next week, instead of the holding back, we find ways to be generous? And as a church family, collectively, we plan on doing that. So those that want to help, you continue to give to those right now, that it is not a time to help. You have no resources, and you'll be needing resources. Your church is ready to offer the help. And we don't know exactly what it looks like yet, but we're going to continue to make those decisions as we go along. And the last one is peace, not panic. Jesus is light, and I love that. You just, when the light's off, we stand still. We don't move. That's a great ad today. But Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." This is Jesus comforting his disciples. "I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." In Matthew 9, we read the story that Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And it's our desire during this time to shepherd well with that truth and timing and tone that we talked about in the beginning. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the fields. And I'm just going to tell you, as children of light, because Jesus is light, Matthew 5 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." And to share one last time with those who are leading, Travis talked about it from the financial perspective, but I've been working with a lot of our theater owners and business owners and restaurant owners this week who were trying to make decisions before decisions were made for them later in the week. And I kept sending many of them Proverbs 22:1, which reads, "A good name is more desirable than great riches." This is Truett Cathy's life verse, the founder of Chick-fil-A. "To be esteemed is better than silver or gold." And how you lead right now, I heard one pastor this week said, your reputation during this time as a leader, as a business leader in our community, your reputation is being forged. I heard a pastor say it this week this way: how you lead over the next few weeks will determine how people follow you for the next few years. And I just want to encourage all of those who are leading. We've talked a lot about our medical community. We talked a lot about first responders and our elected officials. But for business leaders, you've made a lot of hard decisions, difficult decisions during this time. But how you lead during this time is so important, that you would lead follower of Jesus out of faith. And I'll just end. Wednesday, I texted you, beautiful day. I think we would have hit 78 degrees. It was hot. And Amy and I went on a walk. You know, she walks me and the dog before sunset every night. And with this lockdown thing, she's been wanting two walks a day. And I really ain't got no excuse. Right? So we're probably going to be doing suicides tomorrow.
She'll tell you when you're done.
If you see me running out to the deal and running back, you'll know Amy's...
Didn't touch the line.
I didn't touch the line.
Do it again.
But many of you responded. Man, the amount of birds that were singing, it was incredible and inspiring, the birds. And I just kept... I was thinking about and then started singing that hymn. "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." And I know today is one of those more gloomy days with the rain and no sun. Get outside. Enjoy the creation that your Father in heaven has provided for all of us during this time. And that's how we're going to transition into the next segment. But before we do, just to give you the opportunity, for those who have tuned in and you've never placed faith in Jesus, that today would be the day that you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that he has been raised from the dead, as we worshiped and sang about earlier, that today would be the day of your salvation. That right there, wherever you are, from a car to a living room to a kitchen, that you would bow your head, confess your sin before your Father in heaven, receive him as your Lord and Savior, that today would be the day you no longer live as a child of darkness. Let today be the day the light switch goes on and the panic ends and the fear ends and the hype ends and the paranoia ends. And let faith right now be what drives you. I'm asking that the Holy Spirit begin convicting people right now, that many are placing faith in Jesus for the very first time. And then, follower of Jesus, that today would be the day you know what is right. What we believe has not changed. And I love it. Last week, I love all this faith, not fear, hope, not hype, because Joe talked about it being on trial. It's on trial. Your faith, your hope, your prayer, everything's on trial. Do you really believe what you've said for years you believe? Because now is the time that we get to press into it. I'm going to pray for us. And don't go anywhere, because we're going to kick off the after party in about 10 minutes. But I'm going to ask that you bow with me one final time this morning. Father, for Woodland Hills Family Church, this is going out on the internet, but we are a local church. This is a local church family, and everything we're talking about is geared and being spoken to the people who call Woodland Hills home, and the people who maybe have attended for years, but they've never professed faith in Jesus. I pray that right now people are crying out to you, confessing their sins, placing faith in Jesus Christ, the light of the world, so that they no longer have to walk in darkness. The one who's dreading this disease right now because they do not have faith in Christ, that right now the switch is going on. They're placing faith in Jesus for the very first time, and they are now children of light. May this be true across many family rooms, cars, bedrooms, kitchens right now. Continue to use Woodland Hills Family Church. We're asking, Father, we don't know yet. It's uncertain how we can best help our community, but we want to be ready to do that. So for those of us who can continue to help, that we would. For those that will need help, give us wisdom and discernment for the best way to meet those needs in our community. We love you. We trust you. We believe in you. We don't sing and teach this flippantly. We sing and teach it because we believe it to the core. And as we leave here today, we want to drive home from this place, those who are here, to those who are at home, that we want to live as children of light and put that out all over the internet, that we would be praying and not spewing opinions this week. Father, give us wisdom in that. We love you, and we look forward to this time of fellowship, really, that follows from this service. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray it.